Hi, this is Jeff Lamb. Welcome to my podcast. It's called Losing My Mind. See, I've had this really interesting life so far. I've done things that I couldn't even dream of when I was a kid dreaming of what my life might be. Well, I figured I better start putting some of these stories down somewhere before I really do lose my mind. These won't be in any particular order, and they're mostly for me, so I don't forget. But you're more than welcome to listen in. Welcome to podcast number 10. My live radio career started at WIOT. Then we left there after a couple years and went to WXKR. Then we went back to WIOT. Well, we were having our morning meeting after the show with Mike Wheeler, who was the program director. And I don't know how it came up, why it came up, but at some point he said, you know, if it were up to me, I wouldn't have hired you guys back. And I looked at Mark, and he looked at me, and it was just really a stupid, crazy thing to say. We were number one at IOT, we were number one at XKR, and now we had IOT at number one again. And for him to say that just made no sense. But once you've been fired, which we had been from WXKR, your spidey senses start to tingle a little bit. And I left that meeting really, really confused. And when I got home, the phone rang, and it was my brother Bill. He had just gotten a job as general manager of WMBD TV station in Peoria. And he said, Jeff, what do you think about doing TV? I said, wow, funny you should call. And I told him what Mike Wheeler had said. And he said, well, here's what we got here. He says, we're doing a morning show like everybody else, and we're in third place. He says, and it, no matter what we do, we're not moving up. The TV station also owned an FM radio station. And he said, what I'd like to do is do a live morning radio show on TV. Have it on both radio and TV. I said, huh, that's interesting. I said, I got to run it past Shelley, though. Shelley was my wife at the time. I mean, after all, I had uprooted her from Flint, where all of her friends were, and she had a job she really liked. We moved to Toledo, where she didn't know anybody. And now I'm asking her to uproot and move again to Peoria, where she's not going to know anybody. And I thought it would be a tough sell, but she was on board. The sacrifices she made for me were amazing. We had just purchased our very first house a few months before. She had to stay behind and obviously give notice on her job and sell the house. I took off for Peoria. I found a nice apartment there that was big enough to hold all of our stuff. And I had to take a $20,000 pay cut to do this. They just didn't have in their budget what I was making in Toledo. I was really more excited to be in the same city with my brother Bill for the first time in 16 years. Working with him was going to be a blast. He hooked me up with a morning show team on the FM side called Dave and Becky. And they just couldn't wrap their head around why I was there, what I was doing, why I was going to be added to their show. And I get it. I don't blame them, but it was what it was. And we had to get moving on this thing. Well, they just had a real hard time or refused to play along with the characters. They acted like they were just a stupid intrusion on their show. So eventually they had to go. So I got thinking about Doc Watson, a guy I worked with at XKR years before. And I called Doc, and he came down to meet Bill, and Bill loved Doc. Doc was a good-looking guy, big, deep voice, and just the perfect guy to do the straight part of the show, the in and outs of all the breaks and everything else. So now we had Doc, we had me, and now we needed a news girl. Well, we looked at a few tapes, and they looked kind of stiff, and, you know, it just wasn't anything really exciting. And then Bill says, you know, I've got this reporter on the news side. Maybe we could give her a shot. He introduced me to her. Her name was Amy Nuzzo. And Amy was cute as a bug's ear. She was just adorable. And her hair was done very expensively. And this is something that you notice when you come from the radio side. Because when they say you've got a face for radio, they usually mean it. And it's not that the girls in radio were unattractive. It's just they didn't do anything to doll up. They'd show up with no makeup and sweats because it was radio. You know, you weren't dealing with the public. And this was a totally different thing, and I welcomed it with open arms. And she was in her 20s, so she would add a hip factor to the show that quite frankly, Doc and I didn't have. We were in our late 30s. We weren't senior citizens yet, but we were past the hip factor. And by the way, not for nothing, she was very, very good at reading the news. And she had this laugh that started from her heels and went all the way up to the top of her head. It was a big guttural laugh. And it's okay, we now had our news girl, we had Doc, I was there. We still needed a weather guy. And all the stations are hiring meteorologists because it just sounds so much better, but quite frankly, most of them still get their weather from the National Service. And let's face it, most meteorologists would put a cup of coffee to sleep. But anyway, we've got a tape from this guy. Bill calls me in his office and says, check this guy out. And his name was Darren Adams. And Darren was kind of goofy. But the more you watched him, the more you liked him. He came in for the interview and he was built kind of like a Weeble. Kind of like an hourglass with all the sand in the bottom. He could wobble, but he wouldn't fall down. He had a real big back end. On TV, that's something. You just don't normally see anything like that. He's banging on the wall, you know, the big green screen, and punching the map and pointing here and pointing there. And he was very animated. Nothing dull about this guy. No cups of coffee were sleeping on his watch. We said, yeah, come on in, Darren. And so now we had our cast. So we had to start rehearsing and getting ready to get the first show on the air. We did things like the show open. We had to film that. So we did all kinds of goofy stuff for the show open. And we got that ready to go. And our first show was coming up on Monday. Well, now the weekend is upon us. The first show is tomorrow. And in TV, you've got to hit your times. It's not like radio where you can be close-ish. You've got to hit your commercial breaks. You've got to toss to the network on time because they start with or without you. When they say they cut in at 7:20 in the morning, they're there at 7:20 in the morning. We had to get these timings down. And so we did our rehearsal, our dress rehearsal, the Sunday before the first show. And we were way off. It was sloppy. It was awful. And I felt real bad because Bill had stuck his neck out for me and for all of us, really. We didn't want to screw up for him. So we did it again. And we did it again. And now it's getting late. We were still off. And we were just worried for Bill. So we all went home. We had to be up and back at the station at 5 in the morning. I don't think any of us slept that night. I know I didn't. We got there the next morning and there were sponsors there. And they were welcome to come in and sit and watch the first show. Don't know if that was a great idea, but okay, let's go for it. Prior to the show, I was in the men's room with Darren and Doc, and we're putting on our TV makeup. And I said, you know, 3 months ago, if you'd have told me I'd be in a men's room in Peoria putting on makeup with two guys, I'd have punched you in the nose. Well, they got a kick out of it because they knew exactly what I was saying. It was strange. But anyway, then we went on with the show. The director counts us down, and he gets to 5 and starts counting with his fingers. And then he points to us at 1, and we're off. And Doc did the opening segment. Then we tossed to me. Then we tossed to Amy. Then we tossed to Darren. And we all were basically introducing ourselves. We got to the first break right on time. Hey, this is cool. So then we did our next break, and we got through that on time. And everything was going really great. And then we do a segment where I'm going to do a live stand-up with one of the clients. And it was supposed to be a 30-second commercial, but if it was going well, I could take it to 60. Bill left that up to my discretion. So I start the interview and I say, Jim Johnson, good morning and welcome to the Morning Mix. He said, thank you, Jeff. Congratulations on your first show. Everything looks great. I said, well, tell me about McGillicuddy's. What kind of apartment complex is it? Well, this guy gets the stares now. He just, his face goes blank. And I've heard of this. You know, the lights come on, the camera comes on, and a guy just goes blank. So I said, Jim, tell me about this apartment complex. What's the price structure like? Again, I'm getting nothing. I look over at Bill. This guy's looking at Bill. Bill's looking panicked. Finally, the guy clears his throat and says, Jeff, we sell kitchen cabinets. I said, well, this is awkward. I'm sorry. I've only been in town a couple of weeks, and we have a McGillicuddy's back in Toledo that was an apartment complex. I got confused. Tell me about your cabinets, Jim. Well, there was our first chink in the armor, but he was gracious and didn't get mad, didn't cancel. He understood. But anyway, we got through the show, and everything went really, really well, with the exception of my screw-up. It could have been worse. I'm not sure how, but it could have. Our set was really unique. We had a big aquarium there that was set up by one of the local aquarium places, big saltwater deal. It was awesome. We had a door that I would knock on and come in as different characters. And next to the door, there was a safe. And you could open the safe, and it had no back in it. So you could hand a six-foot sub out of this safe. And just, you never knew what was going to come out of the safe or even why it was there. But we had fun with all these different gizmos and attractions that we had. And one day I was doing Principal Prickly. And I'm a wanderer. I really, during commercial breaks, I like to wander. I wander up and down the halls. I don't know if it's a nervous habit or if it's just me trying to distract myself for a minute. But anyway, I heard someone say, Principal Prickly's next. Well, I was supposed to have changed my clothes into a suit. Now, it didn't matter if I was wearing jeans because I'm sitting behind a desk. So I'd put on a dress shirt, a tie, and a suit jacket and sit at the desk, and it looked like I was wearing a full suit. Well, on this day, the happy wanderer got caught short. I came running in. I had no shirt on. I just sat down at the desk, and they had the opening bell, and I said, you ever have one of those dreams where you come to work naked? Well, this cracked up Darren and Amy and Doc and the whole floor crew, and we got away with it. But talk about getting caught with your pants down. And then we did this segment called You Cook It, We'll Eat It. And we did that on radio back in Toledo, but it was different here because we took a live truck with a camera crew, and we'd jump in the truck and we'd go to somebody's house. And it had to be somebody close. We had to be able to get there during our break to CBS for news and a couple commercials. So it had to be about 4 or 5 minutes away. So the premise is we show up at somebody's house with a camera crew. They cook us breakfast and we interview them. Or maybe go through a drawer or just open a cupboard, say, what's in here? And we went into the bedroom once. I opened a drawer. And before the camera could get down there, I shut the drawer because it had a few marital aids in it. And I didn't think those would be great on the air. One of the interesting things that I wasn't prepared for, in Toledo, in radio, we'd done a lot of stage announcements and introduced bands, and we'd done a lot of contesting and appearances at different places. So people kind of knew who we were. We'd been on a couple of billboards, and we were pretty well recognized in Toledo, especially for radio. But I'm telling you, within 3 or 4 days of doing this morning TV show, everywhere I went, it was, hey, love your show. Hey, great morning show. Hi, Jeff. Hey, Jeff. And these are people I don't know. I've never met him before. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, yeah, they see me on TV. And that was all good, except there were times when I'd be out to dinner with my wife and some stranger would plop down in an open chair at our table and just start talking. I don't know who this guy is, but he thinks he knows me because I've been in his living room every morning and he's been watching. And it's actually a nice compliment, but it's a little off-putting, and some of these guys upset Shelley when they just plopped down and she wasn't expecting it. I don't know how real celebrities deal with this. We were little local celebrities, no big deal. But I mean, could you imagine being Michael Jackson? There's no place you can go, no place in the world you can go where you're not going to draw a crowd, people grabbing at you and pulling at you. And no, I'll just take the local celebrity thing and we'll just call it a day. Well, after 2 years, we were an eyelash behind first place. And I think if we'd have kept going, we'd have been number one in no time. But I was getting phone calls from Toledo. John Dickey wanted to put me back with Mark Benson. And I kept saying, John, I appreciate the offer, but I'm really loving what I'm doing. And I did. He was offering me more money than I was making. And I said, it's really not about the money. And then he'd call me the next day and he jacked the money up a little bit. And I said, John, really, again, I appreciate it, but it's not about the money. Thank you. And finally he called again and the money was just stupid. It was huge. And my brother Bill said, Jeff, he says, you'd be a fool not to take that and I'd be a jerk not to let you out of your contract. So why don't you just go? So I did. I left and went back to Toledo to WXKR again. That move was it. Shelley had run out of patience, and she moved on. So I went to Toledo, and she stayed in Peoria. And that's a good place to end podcast number 10. I'll see you next time on Losing My Mind.